I want to help you today. I know we're starting about 10 minutes later. That's all right. You won't die of hunger. But I want to preach to you today. I may refer to a lot of verses instead of you turning. I've got about 30 of them in my sermon this morning, so I'll try to speed things along. But I want to help you. We hear a lot preached about Romans 8:28. Unfortunately, a lot of it's not even scriptural. We give false hope to people, telling them that God's going to turn everything into good if you'll just trust him. This couldn't be farther from the truth. Now, you say, preacher, hang on. I know you've heard people preach like that, but if you'll listen, God has much to say in the Bible about the topic of hope. I spend my life trying to give people hope. I'm not talking about something that I've talked to somebody about. I live my life trying to pump hope back into people. When the phone call comes, preacher, I've got cancer. Brother James, when the phone call came from you that Miss Lily was on hospice, Miss Loretta, when Brother Jimbo was down, Brother Matthew, when your precious wife. And I could go on and on and on in this room alone. So what'd you do, preacher? Tried to give you hope. I believe in hope. But may I say this, hope is not what I want to happen. Hope isn't saying, this is what I want, God, now do it. God's not a genie in the bottle, and you rub the bottle, he comes out and gives you whatever you want. The definition of hope is the desire for some good with a slight expectation of obtaining it. I remember when many of you came to me and said, preacher, I've got a heartache. Miss Loretta, we had hope. But Jimbo still went to heaven. Miss Lily's still in heaven. Matthew, your wife's still in heaven. And you got a daughter to rear. I get it, folks. Hope is not getting everything you want. But hope is maybe, possibly, somehow, some way, salvaging something good, no matter how bad the situation. Here's the truth I want you to get from God's word today. In order to have hope, there must be tribulation, opposition, problems. We read in Romans chapter 8, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. If everything is going fine, there is no need for hope. The only way you get hope is to face something that is hopeless. See, there is no need when everything is smooth sailing for you to have hope. When you see a way out of your problem, there's no need for hope. Hope is only needed in those dark, desperate, tumultuous times. You don't need hope in the good times. It's much like grace. Getting God's grace is sweet and precious. Needing it really stinks. Hope is not pie in the sky, power of positive thinking, that everything's going to be fine and God's going to work it out for my good. No. Hope may mean you do have cancer. Hope may mean you must go through chemo or other treatments. But hope is you're going to enjoy every moment of the life you do have left. Again, I spend my life trying to help people find hope. I want you to get as much as you can out of every difficult situation. We live in a dark, nasty, evil world. Just the other day, I believe it was Thursday, I got a text on my phone from Brother Harry. He said, "Preacher, pray for us. Miss Osi's at the doctor. There's been a shooting up the road in Smithsburg." Oh, my soul. Within a couple hours, I think there was 3 killed and a couple others, several others wounded. What you don't know is this: within a couple hours, my phone buzzed again, and it was Mrs. Barnes, and her cousin was one of the men killed in that shooting. She said, "Preacher, I didn't think that I would be the one this week to tell you about a death." She wasn't the first. But my heart broke. My heart breaks. I wonder who slipped into eternity and went to hell this week. I wonder if anybody had gotten the gospel to those folks. Listen to this statement. God does not tell us that he will change every tribulation or bad situation. God doesn't say in Romans 8:28 that he's going to change the problem that you're going through. "And we know that all things work together for good." He didn't say he'd come and bail you out of the situation. He didn't say he would change your situation. Brother Steve, I watched these young ladies sing. And I guess I'm getting old. Shut up. I see the gleam and the hope and the excitement as they're serving the Lord, and I wonder what heartache awaits them. I wonder which one will have an afflicted child or a child die. I wonder what heartbreak they'll go through. I'll be honest with you. You see the excitement. I wonder what's waiting on the other side of the excitement. God doesn't tell us he's going to change the situation. But he said, "I'm going to help you get as much good as we can out of this situation. When you get through the situation, you're going to start seeing some good come from it. I want you to know the joy of having hope. I don't want you to have to face the need of it, but there's not a person sitting under the sound of my voice to where you don't need some hope somewhere in your life. Let me jump right into it. First of all, hope is brought on by bad or negative situations. We read Romans chapter 8, we'll not read it again, but Romans chapter 12, don't turn there, just let me read these to you for time's sake. Romans 12:13 says this. That wasn't the right one. It might be 13:12. That's probably, well, if I'd read in the right chapter, it would help. Anyway, God talks about us needing hope in the times of tribulation. Tribulation brings hope. Now look at me for a moment here. You have to understand something. You're not going to get it when everything's smooth sailing. Romans chapter 5, verse number 3. It might just be a page or two back from where you're at. Romans chapter 5, verse number 3. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." 2 years ago, this day, I stood on this platform and married my daughter and son-in-law. Little did we know, 3 months later, I'd be driving to Georgia to do Michael's mother's funeral, 52 years old. I told them both last night how proud I was, and I said, y'all have been through a lot in the first 2 years. Just a couple months ago, Mindy lost twins. They've been through a lot. They're going to go through a lot more. But they have hope. They have hope. You will never experience the joy of hope without having the tribulation, the criticism, and the attack of opposition. You'll never know the joy of having hope until somebody comes after you. Many people spend more time blaming God for the difficulty than enjoying the opportunity for hope. May I say something to you? God is good whether your situation is good or not. God's good when you don't have cancer, but God's good when you do have cancer. God's good when everything's going fine, and God's good when everything's not going fine. I'm not part of this Joel Holstein prosperity gospel garbage where you know God's blessing. That means everything's going all right, and if things aren't, then you better get right. Can I tell you something? Go through the Bible and look how many of the great people the Bible went through bad situations. You don't get hope because you got a big bank account. You've got hope when you're digging through the cushions of the couch to try to find some change to buy something to eat. Everybody doing all right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Hang on, you're about to get there. Many people spend time blaming God. God, why did you bring this my way? Instead of saying, I've got hope that we're going to find some good in this. Quit blaming God for the fact that you're a sinner and other people are sinners, and there is a penalty on sin, which is death, but it's also we're going to reap the situation of sin around us. Instead of blaming God for what sinners do, how about we decide to have hope that God will get as much out of it as we can help him get? I don't understand every situation, but I believe in hope. I don't understand, Brother James, why Miss Lily had to go to heaven when she did. My opinion wasn't fair. But look what God's been doing. Brother Matthew, I don't understand it. I don't. But to tell you this, God's got some good things for you coming. It may seem dark now, but the daylight's coming. Don't worry. God says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Miss Loretta, Brother Jimbo was my buddy. He was a tough old redneck. I remember going through a battle. He said, preacher, he said, I could take care of it. I said, what you going to do? He said, don't ask me that. I said, Brother Jimbo, don't want you doing something to cause you to go to jail. He said, it's okay, I know people, I can get out. I said, no, we'll let God. He said, I'll help God. Don't worry, preacher. I love that man. For 6 months, he's been working on a hunting shack for me. Wait a minute. Bitterness is choosing to blame God instead of having hope. When you get bitter, you have told God you have no hope. You would rather focus on the problem than have hope to get through the problem. Bitterness is the absence of hope. Look at Nancy Pelosi's face. No wonder her husband got drunk. May I say something? I'm not for what he did. But I don't blame the guy. You don't have to understand why something is the way it is to have hope. Quit trying to play God and understand everything. How about you get to the point where you say, I don't understand. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. As Job said. You really don't want to answer that phone for a week. You really don't. Say, preacher, how do you keep going? I have hope. I have hope. You don't have to understand all the whys before you say, well, that means then I'll have hope. No, you're to have hope no matter whether you see the why or not. I don't understand everything that has taken place in my life in ministry. In just about a week and a half, my wife and I will have been married 33 years. We've been in the ministry the whole time. We've seen a lot of heartache. Seen a lot of problems. He was just a few months old and 4 months old and got put on life support for 3 weeks. I remember kneeling in a pediatric intensive care ward waiting room saying, God, he was yours before he was ours. If you want him that bad, you can have him, but you're going to have to give me a whole lot of grace because I'm not ready yet. I said, but if you give him to us, we'll give our best to rear him the right way. Now look what God's doing. I didn't understand it. Brother Steve decided that day that I'd never let somebody suffer by themselves. If I could help them, I'd be there. My wife and I were in California, thousands of miles from our family. My pastor rolled over and said, well, it sounds like you got it okay, everything under control, and went back to sleep. I said, I'll never let somebody hurt like that alone. I'll be there. So, hope is brought on by bad situations, negative things, battles, heartache. Second of all, we have a God of hope. And he's given it to us through the Holy Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to read several verses to you, so hang on here. Galatians chapter 5, I'm about to shout. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You're going to have to understand something. Hope comes slowly. You don't say, Shazam, I got hope. It's all going to work out just great, preacher. I only have 27 radiation treatments to go. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. The Bible says this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something? The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God not only washes your sins away, but he adds the righteousness of Christ to your account. But also, you don't get born again by physically being born or your emotions being born. It is your spirit that's born again by the Holy Spirit, John chapter 3. That which is of the flesh is flesh, but that which is of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again. And what happens is this, the moment you say, I'm a sinner, I'm on my way to hell because there's a penalty on sin, but Jesus came and paid that price, and I trust what Jesus did, not a baptistry, not a church, not a preacher, not myself, but I trust Christ as my Savior, the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you and comes inside you. Now watch this. He is the one then that gives us our hope. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy. He says that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm about to really shout. Psalm 146, verse number 5, Joel 3:16, Jeremiah 17:7, Jeremiah 7:13, Jeremiah 7:17, talk about God being the God of hope. We have a God who not only has hope, he is our hope. God is the source of all hope. Can I tell you something? The farther away from God our world gets, the less hope this world has. God never said it was going to get better and better. God said that it would get worse and worse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. That wasn't the right verse. Let me look at here. If I'd read my own writing, chapter 2, verse number 12. I'm in a hurry. Hang on. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant promises of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You want to know why this old world is so nasty? Because they have no hope. Good night. They don't even know what bathroom to use. Folks, this world is getting worse and worse. Look how everything is a crisis. There's not going to be any clean drinking water. Yes, there is. There's not a drop of water less now than there was 7,000 years ago. God showed us in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 how he makes it happen. Don't worry, there's plenty of water. Oh, well, our carbon footprint's too big, and we're going to destroy the world. Do you know there are more trees in America right now than when Christopher Columbus landed in 1492? Hang on. Well, our carbon footprint's... Do you know what plants breathe and feed on? Carbon dioxide. They need carbon to grow so that they can give off oxygen. Go figure. Well, we don't want to hurt Spotty the owl. Well, Spotty the owl can find another tree. Don't worry. Oh, we can murder 60 million babies and that's okay. Listen to the idiocy of abortion saves lives. Everybody doing okay? This world is getting farther and farther and farther away from God. We kicked God and the Bible and prayer out of the public schools in the 1960s, and we wonder now why they're training children, training them to be sodomites. Folks, it's perverted and it's wrong. Be careful this mental illness thing about guns. So, well, I think those people are crazy. Yeah, I think they are too, but not the same way. Because before too long, if they pass it for mental illness, they're going to say, if you want a gun, then you're mentally ill. An AR-15 is not an assault rifle. You have no idea what that means. An AR-15 shoots a 223 round or a 5.56 round, which is much smaller than most hunting calibers. And the Second Amendment was not added to the Constitution because of hunting. It was to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government. The Constitution limits the people. The Bill of Rights limits the government. And it's about time the people start limiting to the government, or you're not going to have any way to limit the government. Everybody doing okay? Say, well, I think you're talking about a revolution. I'll preach revival or revolution, and I don't care which starts first. Doesn't matter to me. I'm for standing for right. Doesn't matter who your last name is. So, the God of all hope. Folks, you have access to the God of all hope. He is the source of all hope. Well, preacher, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just so sad. I'm just so depressed. God bless you. Come here, let me burp you. Why don't you cancel your pity party and get up and do something and get close to God? Can I tell you something? You wouldn't want a pastor that acts like you. Everybody doing all right? Say, how do you always, how do you just stay on topside, preacher? I keep crawling. I keep clawing my way. Say, don't you ever get down? Yeah, but I can hold my breath for a while and get back up. Say, how do you do that, preacher? Because I have found the source of all hope, and it is in our Almighty God. Amen. Folks, you don't have anything to worry about. And the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of you. And when you walk around without hope, listen to me, you are unspiritual. You are not yielding to the Holy Ghost. You are not obeying the word of God, and you are floundering in your own selfishness. I didn't say it, God did. Having hope through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God works within the pages of the word of God. If he doesn't, he is not God. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. I just preach it. Why don't you cancel your pity party and get right with God? Well, I just don't see a way out, preacher. You don't have to see any way out. Just keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You don't have to see if you can see the one who sees. When someone gets saved, they get hope. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Can I tell you something? The moment you get saved, you have hope. We read in Romans chapter 8 that we are saved by hope. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27. I'll turn there if you can get there quickly, but if not, don't worry about it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27 says this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. We don't have time to turn there, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3. Let me read it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus, in the sight of God our Father. Can I tell you something? The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you get hope. You want to help a hopeless world? Let's take the gospel to them, show them how they're lost in their sins, and that they need a Savior, and they need to trust a Savior, not a church, not a preacher, not a priest, not some holy father that dresses like an unholy mother. Said it. It's not in a baptistry. It's not in a church membership. It is in a Savior, the God of all hope. When a person gets saved, they have the hope of eternal life, and they're not afraid of this world. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. God says that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. We live in a mindless society. We live in a delusional society. Hey, the answer is not taking the guns away. How about we take the video games away to where people are killing things? How about we take the video games away of people fighting? How about we stop putting in the news and glamorizing all of the murder? How about we go to Hollywood and stop all the violence of Hollywood? Maybe if we would do some of that, we would have less problems. I could put 100 guns on this platform, fully loaded, ready to fire, and they won't kill anybody. more than 10 times the amount of children die every year by alcohol and car accident than do by guns. How about we outlaw alcohol? How about we outlaw women drivers? hang on. I'm teasing. Man, somebody's going to get right with God. They're depressed. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? This world says the answer is education. How come we don't have gun education in our schools? I grew up with guns in my house. My children grew up with guns in their house. The gun isn't the problem. If they'd learn how to use one properly, what it's used for, proper safety with it, and we wouldn't give them a bunch of video games to where they're killing people hour after hour after hour after hour after hour every day to where they get desensitized to it, so that when they get mad, instead of playing a game, they pick up a gun and go to where they work and start shooting people. Brother Larry is thinking of your friend Dave. A few weeks ago, Brother Larry said, "Preacher, I got a friend. He's got lung cancer. He said he needs to get saved." Drove up to Maryland, sat down, and Larry started talking to him, introduced me to him. Man starts weeping. I'm talking a tough man. Man has worked hard his whole life, lived hard. They took 2 liters of fluid off of his lungs. Could hardly breathe. He starts crying and he said, "They tell me I'm going to a better place, but how do they know that?" Brother Larry said, "That's why I brought him. He's going to show you. You need to get saved." I walked over and sat down beside Dave and opened up my Bible and won that man to Christ. I went back a couple weeks later and Brother Harry and I went up to see him. And let me tell you, when he answered the door, brother, I knew the face, but it wasn't the same voice. He sat down and started telling me about his wife. Looked at him. He said, heard somebody had gone through a hard time, and he said, "Boy, those poor folks. We had to pray for them." She said, "Who are you?" He said, "That's what happens when you get saved. You start caring about people." Oh. Sherry came through the door a couple days later, clean at the church, and she said, "Preacher, I know Dave got it, because that's not the same man." Yep. See, what is that? When you get saved, you get hope. Lastly, and I'll finish quickly. After salvation, the Holy Spirit with the Bible will help you find hope. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. Psalm 119, verse 81 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is hope, O Lord." Psalm 119, 114 talks about thy word being hope. Psalm 130, verse number 5 talks about the word of God being our hope. Hope is based on truth. Hope is not based on your desires. Miss Loretta, 6 months ago this last week, we sat in your house with Brother Jimbo going to heaven. We knew where he was going. We had hope. But as he took his last breath, we were glad we had hope. And then a minute later, he took another breath. And another minute later, another breath. And we all start laughing. Say, why? Because he was going out his way. He said, "I got you." Now, wait a minute. That hope wasn't based on, "Well, we hope he gets there." Oh, no. We know where he is. We knew where he was headed. Less than a day before, I had just been there. I said, "Brother Jimbo, would you give my mom a hug for me when you get there?" "Preacher, I'll do it." Couldn't hardly talk. He said, "What else you need, preacher?" I said, "Jimbo, put your arms around Jesus for me? Would you tell him I love him? And ask him to keep blessing our church? I'll do it, preacher. I'll do it. Huh. And we know that all things work together for good. God didn't say that good was coming to you. Sometimes that good is for somebody else, not for you. Death may not be good for you, but it may be for the one going to heaven. God didn't promise that it would be for your good, but he said, I'll get good, as much good as I can out of this. Oh, I could preach for another hour on this, but hang on. Let me read a verse to you out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm about to come unscrewed. But it would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We have the hope that Jesus is coming back one day. Brother James has stood over Miss Lily's grave, and I made the statement, this is a piece of resurrection ground. It's not a cemetery, it's resurrection ground for the saved. Can I tell you something? We have hope. And may I say something? The very same God that predicted that Jesus would come in Bethlehem's manger is the same God that said Jesus is coming back at the rapture.
Yes,
if he kept his promise the first time, he's going to keep it again this time. We don't have to worry about what's going on down here. We don't have to worry about the current administration or the next one. We don't have to worry about how bad it's getting or the price of gas. We need to have hope in the Word of God through the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to get right with God so that we can keep our eyes focused on the eternal, not the temporary. Don't you die without hope. Because if you do, you'll burn in hell forever. I didn't say it, God did. I don't want that to happen. I want you to have hope. But please know this, you're not going to have hope without opposition. You're not going to have hope without trial and tribulation. You're not going to have hope without distress and difficulty. It's only going to come because you face the time you don't think you can get through it. Remember the very day we had closed our loan. Everything was going good. And the wonderful Jefferson County Commission added $150,000 to our storm water management. I'd been to the governor's office, talked to the head of the DEP, been through all that, exhausted everything. And it was a Friday afternoon, 10 after 4, and I said, God, that's it. I'm done. I can't do this. It's your house. You want it built? You pay for it. So you shouldn't have said that. Okay, you don't, but I was upset. Had to go back through, get new loans. I said, God, you better show yourself real. It was 4:10 on a Friday afternoon. I shared with the men the next day on prayer breakfast that we needed to go back through this and do all this. Going to delay us months. I said, we got to come up with an extra $100,000+. Man came to my office immediately after prayer breakfast. He said, Pastor, not even a member of our church. He said, I was in prayer breakfast and heard you tell that story. He said, what time was that? I said, 4:10. He said, my wife and I just had a great opportunity and we cashed in on it. The Lord told me at 4:15 to write this check. And it's a check for $25,000. I said, excuse me, I got to go shout. I got on my face. I said, okay, I'll keep going. You provided, I'll keep going. God gave the hope. I didn't see a way out. He did. Maybe we ought to have hope, but you're going to face the battle to get it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder who's lost hope. Instead of getting bitter, how about we get right?